Tucker Carlson, I got to tell you, that guy is very astute. And I think that I don't know that he'll ever run for political office. But if he did, I think he's got some wisdom there.
Yeah, he's a super smart guy. And again, the new book is called Ship of Fools, How a Selfish Ruling Class is Bringing America to the Brink of Revolution. And Gary, I know you had the chance to ask him about a particular political and financial issue. Let's listen into that.
Obviously, Midwest, Michigan, car industry, all of that type of thing. When NAFTA is ratified and it goes through, is there anything the Dems can do to change that? And question is, why would they? Because that's kind of economically good for all of us, and we want to see this economic trend continue on.
Right.
So they hate him so much, would they pull that away so he couldn't claim that as a victory?
I have noticed and I would say I disagree on one point of that. I don't think any economic change is good for everybody. That's one of the reasons people were mad about NAFTA in the first place. I think NAFTA had enormous benefits, but there were also major losers, like the entire industrial Midwest. So the big lie that Washington always tells is there's no downside. We all succeed. We're all going to win. And it's like, okay, if you find yourself in a scenario where there is no downside, you have died, actually, and you're in a better place. But yeah, the farmers are mad about this stuff, obviously. I don't think there's any appetite on the Democratic side all of a sudden to be engaged at all in economic issues, or in fact, on the details of anything. And that's kind of what we're losing. Like, I was always, you know, I've never been a Democratic voter, obviously, and I've always had some level of contempt for the party. But looking back, I'm like, actually, it's kind of helpful to have two parties making serious economic arguments so we can assess which one is right. And you do want checks and balances, actually. You don't want one part. You know what I mean? There's always another side to everything. And I, just as a journalist, just having done this for almost 30 years, I always want to hear the other side just to make sure I'm not missing something. It's helpful to have smart people around you who disagree. But that's not what you have right now. You have one party that sort of has an economic agenda, the Republican Party, sort of. And it's split between the populace and the Chamber of Commerce. They're still at war. But at least they're trying to think it through. And the Democratic Party, which has had a pretty clear economic agenda for like 100 years, has suddenly abandoned it completely. And why is that? Well, the reason is the Democratic base has totally changed. So you're from Grand Rapids, which has always been kind of Republican. But like Eastern Michigan, of course, is one of the great Democratic strongholds of the whole country because of organized labor. And now a lot of those people are voting Republican. Why? Because the Democratic Party is no longer the party of the middle class or the working class, wage earners. It's the party of the finance class. And even after this long bull market, this massive equities run up, which was the result of government policy, as you all know, Fed policy, you see, and you would think like they would like Trump. Nope. Still overwhelmingly giving to Democrats because rich people are now on the left. And if, you know, you probably see this, I see this in my own family and I see it among everyone I live around. And I'm sure you all see it every day with your friends, relatives, or clients. And poor people are, of course, an enduring Democratic constituency because they're dependent on the government and the party of big government is always going to be their party. So what's so interesting to me is you have the Republican Party was always the party, as a friend of mine who's a Democratic pollster always says, he goes, you know, for 50 years, we had a word for college educated white people. It was called Republicans. Like no Republican has ever lost college educated white voters ever, ever. And Trump lost college educated white women. And he's likely at this pace, Republicans are going to lose college educated white men. So you are going to see a complete inversion of the system that we grew up in. But what's so fascinating for me is if the Democratic Party is now the party of the rich and poor, and it is provably, like we know this from exit polling, the Republican Party should be what? The party of everyone else, regardless of color, by the way. Race does not need to play a major role and should never play a major role in our politics, in my opinion. It should be about economics. They should be the party of the middle class. Why wouldn't they be? And the big debate that's never voiced out loud is the Republican leadership has zero interest in that. They don't see themselves that way. They don't want to be the party of like some guy without a college education who's got like weird views on Confederate flags. And they're not into that at all. They hate those people. They don't want them in their party. They tried to blackball them in membership committee. Like, no, can't come in. And Trump, because he's just such a savage animal, basically took over the party by force. I mean, he really is like the Viking who shows up in a longboat and just torches your huts, you know, slays all the livestock, carries your women over his shoulder in the boat back to Sweden. I mean, he's just like, he's honestly pillaging the Republican Party. And we all pretend that's not true. I'm sure most of you are Republicans. So we're like, oh, no, he's a Republican, always has. No, he was a Democrat until like 20 minutes ago. They hate him still. We're all lying about it. And the reason they hate him is because he is trying to change by force the composition of their party. And I would argue They should have done that a long time ago. We all saw this coming. This is not the country of my childhood. And so if you're like a smart Republican, you'd be like, okay, why shouldn't we represent working people? That is America. They built it. You want to know who built America? They built America. And now they're dying? Like, why wouldn't we be on their side? And it's pure snobbery. That's exactly what it is. And it's the result of having a city like ours where everyone shares the same cultural assumptions, everyone shares the same background, and everyone shares in the prosperity that comes from our ridiculous fake economy that's based on the federal budget. So we have no sense. I mean, our economy has grown. Let's see, I can pinpoint the day, December 7th, 1941, Pearl Harbor. And we have grown as a city and as an economy here on the basis of that alone. The federal budget has grown basically without pause since then, and we've all gotten richer. And so not only are we out of touch with the rest of the country, we look at them with suspicion in the way that you do. When you take something illegitimately from someone else, you kind of hate that person in that weird way, right? It's the people you sin against that you hate. You're not mad at the people who sin against you. You get an argument with your spouse and you know it's their fault, you can forgive. If you know it's your fault, you're really mad. I mean, like, who hasn't lived this? If you know you're the one who's the jerk, you have trouble getting over it. And that's exactly how we feel about America. We know we're rich because we take your money by force and pass it among our friends. We've sinned against you, therefore we hate you. It's really, I should have been a shrink, actually.
Wow, Gary, you got him fired up there.
Yeah.
One question.
A little bit about Tucker. You know, I met him 3 years ago. His wife's from the west side of the state, and so we've had a chance to meet with him and talk with him. So when we told him from the Midwest, he'll lay it out there.